So on page 619 here in Parashas Tzav, the holding the pasuk called Minchas Kohen Kol Tiel Losachol, that a mincha that a kohen brings is totally burnt and it's not eaten. Avol Tam Sreifas Minchas Kohen. So the Rama Mordechai gives a reason why. Mipnei Kol Kohen Yeshu Lakir Kovane Batzmoi. So every kohen brings his own carbon. In other words, he actually goes through the process of bringing it. So basically, he's sort of making himself a pancake. So he says, when somebody else gives it, so the kohen's eating it, it's going someplace else, and so on and so forth. Here, basically, nobody, the kohen himself is just baking himself a cake and eating it. They would need the levaina, you can't eat levaina itself, and the kumta is a tiny drop. So Rama says a simple reason why it is that you burn the kohen's carb. Next one is Eben Ezra, very interesting Eben Ezra. The Eben Ezra has here a vikuach, he has here an argument with its stuki. Just to remind ourselves, the Karaim was still, they were a major force at the time of the Eben Ezra, the Rambam, etc. And people had a lot of interaction, and there was a lot of back and forth or defense against and so on. So here he brings a case. Upam achas boyer light stukeh, and stuke came to me. V'shalani im ha'alya sur min ha'Torah. Are you not allowed to eat the tail from the Torah? In other words, is a tail also to eat? V'an v'im, and I answered, em is called tikara chelev. The alya is called chelev. Kikhein kosuv chelvoy ha'alya t'mima. So it's called chelev ha'krava. Rakadmeneni tiru v'asu kol chelev. But Chazal's Maseris is that while other chelev is aser, the alya is muta. As ana, so he answered, that's impossible. I call kol chelev aser in the Torah aser all chelev. Kikhein chosuv kol chelev hol damlis a chelev. But chilas chosuv chukas el der osechem. So it says all chelev aser and says it's forever aser. So lemaisa, it shouldn't be muta. Gamani anisim. I answered Mkizeh haPosuk Dovak Mzavach HaShlomim. This pasuk is referring to the Shlomim, that all chelv of the Shlomim is Nikra. Ve'imilas Chukas Olam Rosem Chol Shosem Raya Gemura, and the pasuk Chukas Olam is not a Raya. Kine Ksiv Alechem Kol Karmel Lo Yisach Latzem Azeh Adavachem Skarvan Alkechem V'Shom Kasa Chukas Olam V'Mkei Lo Nochal Lechem Begolus Kol Karvan Karvan Aima. So you see in the pasuk that you can't eat Chadash until there hasn't been a karma oma. Since there hasn't been a karma oma, maybe we won't be able to eat chodesh. V'gamhu eishiv. So he replied, it says, kol chelev shor v'kebes v'ezos achelev, which is not a carbon. And it says, kol gamani eishiv v'yisi. Ki gam zeh posuk dov v'zavach ha'shlamim. This posuk is going back also on shlamim. V'ha'eid, ki kol oichol chelev b'yim ha'shiyakim mimenu, l'ho'yitzi chelev kol posuk shen karb l'shlamim, So he says this whole parasha is going back on chelev of karb. V'raya gemura shav sefer l'dvarim v'basa taiva shuchol shechlena kuloi. It says that you're allowed to eat basa taiva. V'lo hoitzi rak es damer levadev shalosh bekomos. And the only thing that's eliminated is dam. V'en zech l'chelev klal. So you see that the chelev is all learned. He knows that the chelev has to be learned from the chelev of karbanis. So he says, "Oz pocha hatstuki einov upatzah b'sfasav shvur shlismachal daiti b'esha mitzvah sakishar takas apirushim." So that stuka opened his eyes, and he said that from now on he's only going to be samech on Torah Shavu'al Peh. I want to talk a little about this, the context of about this vikuach. Our understanding of Joshua's Chazal vis-a-vis the Mesoris we have. So it's not clear, is everything just a Mesoris and the Joshua's of Chazal were just sort of a smachta, according to some shittas, or the Mesoris of Chazal is an Iker and Joshua's Chazal also support it. And therefore, in those rare cases that we had a lapse of memory, we could try to reconstruct it with the Drushas, or the Drushas would reinsure that we wouldn't. Or some hold that the Beis Nagadol could use and Drushas at a Pasuk and Dashim and Psukim and so on. But everyone is Maida. In other words, we who have Mesoris Toshav Pez Maida, that the Iker understanding explanation is anchored in Torah Shabbal Peh. We may be fortunate and find it in Torah Shabbik Sav. We may be able to see how it works out in Torah Shabbik Sav, maybe be able to buttress the riot that we have to write in the service and so on. So Devin Ezra, for instance, saw it as being very important as trying to see things in Torah Shabbik Sav, and he goes on a limb to learn Pshatim in Torah Shabbik Sav. Sometimes at variance, actually, with Torah Shabbal Peh, because he felt there's a makom for that pshat also. But there's no makom for that to determine halacha. So halacha is the Mesoris of Torah Shabbal Peh, and it is an important avoda to darshan Torah Shabbat, to try to find remazim for Torah Shabbat Ksav, like the Malbim did, like the Ksav Kabbalah did, and others. But those are all adjuncts and not the ikkar. And that's what happened. After he proved him, you know, Devin Ezra wasn't holding what he held because of Torah Shebiksav. He was holding what he was holding because of Gemara. There's a few places he says, you know, but the Ikah is like the Matikim and the Emes is Matikim and so on. However, Devin Ezra feels it's important and it's valid to find the expression of that Torah Shebal Peh in the Torah Shabbat. And that's why he had all these arguments with Stukim, would answer them in a way where he showed them very convincingly that Torah Shabbat was also Meramaz on it. Okay, let's see the next piece. The next piece deals with Chaza et Tnufa, the pasuk of making Tnufa. On the Yod of Tvenas, Ish Hashem es Achel v'ala Chaza, Yvenas HaChaza, Lona of Tnufa Hashem. You take the Chaza and the Shok, and you make Tnufa on both of them. What's the Indian of the Chaz and the Shok making Tnufa? Like, it's just kind of a weird, both what the act of Tnufa is and why the Chaz of a Shok. Venerally, B'tam Shnei Vermel, so Rechai says, why these things, Shem Chaz of a Shok, Shenisiyachtu L'Tnufa Al Gav HaMizbeach, L'fi Shem Sivas HaTnua Ba'odam, Gam B'Shar B'Lechayim. Ki Alev HaMisno'eahu B'Makoyim HaChazer, V'Chein Tnuas Kol B'Lechay B'Shukim Hu. We categorize something living. The early scientists described, or philosophers in those days, that they were kind of one and the same. It was a synonym. Philosophy and science were sort of two sides of the same coin, I guess. They described the living as that which has motion, as opposed to vegetation, which has growth but no free motion. A living entity has free motion. That's how it was defined. Chai misnoea, it's something that has movement to it. So when we're trying to be makir of the carbon, what we're actually doing is taking out the elements that are most lifelike, most given, you know, it's the symbols of life, and putting that on the mizbeach. So we take the dam and we make zrika, and that's appropriate. because dam is a nefesh. And then we take the two places that motion is felt in the animal is in its chest. The beating of the heart, the constant beating of the heart is a constant motion. And the shanks, the feet that keep, that move, those in an animal are life. So he says, Ki aleva misno'ea b'mkom achaze, the beating heart is in the chest. These two ivarim that are motion itself are brought up who holds the entire world up with. In other words, the motion of all the planets. God is the God of motion. And it's in other words, we're saying that all that moves in the Bria is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh Hashem L'misha'a Baruch Solom Shalo, V'sha Shemayim V'aretz Shalo. So all Karbanis are sort of an acknowledgement that the root of life and nefesh is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the parts of the animal that are motion are most significant. The next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya. What about in the tnuf of the Chazav Shok? What about the motion itself? What does the motion symbolize? Boidei Shleima beinyan Moilech umevi Milo Morid bein betnuas Chazav Shok bein betnuas Halulav. When we take a lulav, what are we trying to show with it? Shebezir remez legolus legula. Moilech Hashem vayelchub lakoch meirodev. Umevi Hashem hini meivayitzim arsofim. Ma'al al misha hel ashkenasim harisol. Shem vayalkoi Hashem v'ir. Umoyed mishasi lair lashayitzim yisol. Shem kinyar Hashem tzokat litzvah al har tzion. So he says one remez is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interactions with us fall in two directions. Drawing back and drawing closer. So we push away the Chazav Shok and we bring it back. We push it away upwards and we bring it down. These are all symbolizing acts of distancing and bringing close, which in a sense is Golus and Gulus. So just like we spoke about the ongoing life force in a living being and the ongoing motion in the celestial bodies, we also here deal with the ongoing motion in the relation of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is Kiruv and Richuk. If one to ask ourselves, what is the plane of interaction of Kadosh Baruch Hu? Kiruv and Richuk, Hester and Gilui would be the answer. V'yesh b'zoi dremes t'chias ha-meisim moylech Hashem shakosu ruach holech u'meiv Hashem shakosu v'atovi b'maruach v'yichyu. Mal Hashem shekosev v'ruach tosh alakim v'shem sona, omer Hashem shekosev v'fchi v'arug me'ele v'yichyu. So, Tchias HaMeisim is also a sense of the neshama distancing itself from the body, coming closer to the body, and so on. Both of them are merumas. So, the tenufa is an act that's merumas on the core process in the universe. The core process are ones of bringing close and distancing. Kadosh Baruch Hu to us, the nefesh to the guf, and so on. And that's what's merumas in it. Okay, next one's Rabbeinu Bechaya again. We have a lot of Rabbeinu Bechaya today. It says, "Hazoyis haTorah lo'il l'mincha l'chatas l'ashem l'milu zevach ha'shlamim." Hakosav hiktim oyla v'chasim b'shlamim. The Torah starts with Ola and finishes with Shlamim. Why? Hiktim oyla k'mishpat. It starts with Ola, rightfully so. Kuan nivcha v'nivcha kol hakabonot. It's sort of the purest, it's the holiest, it goes all to the Shemaim and so on. V'chosam b'shlamim, why does he finish Shlamim? Lefi sheroi lachtem b'midas ha-shalom shukim ha-olam. Shalom should be the seal, because that keeps the world. V'dozher ha-zal lomu nikoshmon shlamim, shematilin shalom ba-olam. V'yadata ke-ohi Hashem Hashem nimcha la-mayim, k'nei losim shalom b'nish li-ishtoi. U'lefi sha-huva b'midas ha-shalom, tikon ha-shaknazdo lo-chasim ha-stfil ha-shman esiv b'midas ha-shalom, v'birchas ha-vars ha-mesor ba-shalim. Chen shalom shalom chosim shashuim b'midazoy shalom azisi b'enik moitzi shalom omron ha-zal afil ha-yoyna tzich ha-shalom shnema ha-ham shalom fach ha-imo ha-is shalom ha-reima. So he says, we finish shalom because it's such a wonderful midah, it's such Knesset Gdolos said so, and Shlomo HaMelech finishes your Ashirim with Shalom, and so on. Let's think about it a minute or two. Let's ponder it. He says we start with Olo because that's the most chashur, most nichbar. Great. We finish with Shalom because it's very, very important, so make it number two. Make it number one. In other words, what you're telling me that Shalom is so phenomenally important, so the most important one you do first one, and then the last one is, it's almost like by a chasana, like you either get Siddiq Dushin or Bricha Chriti. Like those are the two chshuvim. Well, what are the relative positions of the last one? Why is the chshivas of Shalom dictate that it be the last bracha? I'll talk a little bit about this point over here. In Bechukosah, we finish with Shalom. It's, Rashi says, even if you have everything, if you don't have Shalom, then you don't have anything, and so on. So let's understand the role of Shalom vis-a-vis everything else you have. Imagine a person has tons of qualities, many, many good qualities, but whatever task that he's out to perform, the business he's opening, community he wants to be part of, the shidduch he wants to do, these qualities don't snap together to produce the right person that's relevant for this. Everything a person wants to achieve goes through some sort of process. And each part of the process might need certain resources. But at the end of it, unless I reach a point of stability where all the pieces have snapped into something that can be permanent, I haven't accomplished anything. So imagine I built up this phenomenal business. I started with $1,000 and some product in my backyard, and now it's being traded for millions and billions on the market. That's great, that's fantastic. But if it's a very volatile business and it can collapse any moment, I haven't done anything because I haven't reached any point of stability. Everything that I want to accomplish and do, unless my endpoint is stable and miskayim, then I haven't accomplished anything. A person, let's take the similar example of Shalom Bayis. A person is very accomplished and he marries somebody who's extremely accomplished, but if it's not in harmony, then it's not only a waste of time, it's destructive. So Shalom is the chasima. Every time you seal something, you want it to snap together as a whole that's stable. Let's take a mushroom from the simplest parts of matter. When you have an atom, if its rings are full, then you have a very stable atom that doesn't look for trouble. It's not going to react or interact with anything else. It's just going to sit there and kind of do its own thing. When you're missing something or you have extra something, you're volatile because you're looking to fill or to give off your extra piece. That's the that's true in matter, and it's true in every level. If what I have constructed is not a davar shalom / shalom, then I really have not accomplished anything. And therefore, the final shalom is extraordinary chashev as a chasima, as that at the end, what I've attained at the end, is this a stable product? Are all the pieces clicked in perfect harmony? Then I have something that's stable, it's going to last. If I have gaps, excesses, or what have you not, or just the wrong commercial pieces, then the thing is just going to fall apart. Okay, one more piece. This also Rabbeinu Bechaya. V'dorsha razal, zoysa teira la'oila mincha chatash asham v'chulu. Kola oisig pashas ola kilikriv ola. Pashas mincha kilikriv mincha, pashas chatz kilikriv chatas. So razal say that even though we don't have karbonis today, but if a person is oisig in karbonis, it is as if the person is bringing a carbon and so on. Wonderful. So he says like this, Va'inyan, shehu mizbonein bebira parasha al ezeni romezes. When we talk about saying it, it means that we're thinking into the content of that carbon. As a person's mizbonein in the parasha of each carbon and what it's there for and what it's supposed to do, he begins to understand something. It stimulates him to do better. When a person is mizbonein on the perfection of the Ola, on the charot of the chatos and asham, the shleimus of shlomim and so on, so it has an effect on him that moves him forward. It doesn't mean that the person should just kind of mutter the words in the parasha, the naked words, without thinking about it. Same way, and he's, and Rav Chai says it's a klal, all the other things. When it says a person says Asher every day, he's assured. It's not that your ticket to Gan Eden lays in saying Ashrei. I mean, to us, Ashrei has become a synonym for saying something by rote and mindlessly. Yeah, it was like saying Ashrei. You know, so that's not a recipe for Gan Eden. There are no words that have magic Gan Eden properties. It simply means that if you take a look in the psukim and you misbone in the psukim, it strengthens your emunah, then you've been olam haba. Umitam ze tiknu chazal v'sedit 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 v'sedit. That's why we say korbanis. V'omal ze omkash v'or v'zman shekorim v'mal ani lehem ki yukrim v'fanai. So chazal, all those in Yonim, and this is, it's something which is, unfortunately, it is one of the areas where, out of good intentions, we end up doing bad. Let's give an example. It's good to say Yom of Tehillim. It's great. Pirkei Shira has come into fashion now, and everyone says Pirkei Shira, this and that. The Mechaba says Toiv Ma'at Kavona Mihar B'li Kavona. It's a bigger mile to say a little bit with a lot of Kavona than a lot with a little Kavona. So those areas of Tefillah that are obligatory, what Chazal gave us, what Chazal made as our basic form of Tefillah, that we have to say. Anything that we add afterwards, its tachlis is to give the person an understanding and to motivate the person. If we don't do that, then a lot of times it's because we're saying so much. If a person were to say one capital of Tehillim with a lot of feeling, it's better possibly than saying many capital of Tehillim just to be Yotze. It's so many schoolers or this capital that, finishing the perek this way, finishing the perek that way, finishing the Tehillim this way, that way, the other way, saying this, saying that. What happens is you load a lot of stuff, and our tendency is that our kavana decreases in proportion to the amount of stuff we have. We want to get over with. So when a person has to sit at a cave and finish all of Sefer Tehillim, all of Sefer Tehillim is a 2.5 hour minimum undertaking. And if a person is hungry or tired or annoyed or hot or whatever it is, he pushes it, and you ask yourself, is that really what Akash Baruch Hu wants out of it? At the end of the day, this person is not adding devotion, he's kind of replacing it with muttering. So Rebbe Mechaya here is a very strong marker for this, that Limud of Tzurka Banas are called Akrava only when you think about it. Any time Chazal gave us schoolers, if you say this, say that, or other thing, it means you live what you're saying, you're into it, you understand it, and so on. Okay, hold it here.